This is your last call for My Wife the Dietitian. The show is just about to start.
Come on, let's go. Hurry up.
I'm trying. I can't get my shoe on.
Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information.
On today's episode, we are talking all about iron. There's a fine balance with iron consumption. Not enough can lead to issues like anemia. Too much can cause problems as well.
Excess iron stores are linked to higher risks of heart disease and cancer, particularly colorectal cancer. And men don't lose blood on a monthly basis like women do. So that's why women are more at risk for anemia and not having enough iron, that they're not replacing what they're losing.
Stay with us to learn everything you need to know about iron. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Rob.
What are we talking about today?
All things iron and anemia, iron deficiency anemia.
Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah, it's fairly common. Actually, it's the most common nutrient deficiency in North America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that kind of comes up, but we haven't really talked a lot about it that I recall.
It's not very common in men. It's more prevalent in women and children.
Right. Guys like to pump iron.
Right.
But we don't like lose it the way women do.
Exactly.
Right. All right. So what do we need to know?
Well, we're going to talk about today the different forms of iron. So how iron comes in our diet and factors that increase the absorption in our eating and factors that decrease absorption in our diet.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about 7 iron-rich recipes to incorporate into meals and ways to help the absorption of iron in our meals.
Awesome. Now, iron is a nutrient, a mineral.
Yes.
Right. That makes sense. And it's something that's found in a variety of different foods, and we need it
for our energy. It's part of the red blood cell and helps our breathing, helps for our energy.
Yeah, it's like related to your blood somehow, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, your red blood cells, like it's for the functioning of the blood cells or something. And that's if you are low in iron, then you're, I don't know what happens. You're tired and you're...
Well, we talked about bilirubin last time, but
yes.
Hemoglobin is a different protein molecule. It's in the red blood cell that continually circulates throughout our body. And the iron attaches itself and lets go of oxygen and carbon dioxide. And it's present in muscle tissue and helps to store oxygen for future use.
Yeah, it sounds pretty important.
Yeah, for definitely just to feel like you have some get up and go and energy.
Yeah. And do you need a lot of it, or do you just need like a minimum amount in order to function?
That's a really good question. You always ask the tough ones, don't
you? Well, yeah, I like to keep you on your toes. You know, it's kind of fun.
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, because having too much iron is not a good thing.
Oh, okay. See, that's where I was going, because some things you can just... As long as you got a basic amount, you can you can't overdo it. Like water, probably, you know, as long as you get a minimum amount of water, it's okay if you have extra.
Right,
but
right.
With iron, you don't want too much.
No, what happens is it's a pro-oxidant, and it promotes the oxidative damage that's linked to many chronic diseases.
Okay, so you start to rust?
Well, kind of in a way.
Oh. Interesting.
Excess iron stores are linked to higher risks of heart disease and cancer, particularly colorectal cancer. And men don't lose blood on a monthly basis like women do. So that's why women are more at risk for anemia and not having enough iron, that they're not replacing what they're losing.
Right.
And a lot of times it's quality of diet. It's not necessarily that...
It's got nothing to do with whether you eat meat or not. It's got more to do with the quality of your diet.
Perfect. Yes.
Regardless of the meat.
Thank you for summarizing that.
There we go.
Awesome.
That's why I'm here.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, there is a myth, a popular myth that most vegetarians end up with iron deficiency anemia. And we talked a lot about this in episode 48, Vegan for Runners with Scott Fickerson. And the fact is that iron deficiency in vegans or vegetarians versus non-vegetarians, there's no difference. The number of are the same in both populations. So it is a common nutrient deficiency, but just because vegetarians don't eat a lot of meat, people assume that they're not getting the iron, but a lot of times it's the quality of the diet. So if you're vegetarian, and I think we touched on this in episode 2, our vegetarian preteen daughter.
Right.
And talked about how when kids decide to become vegetarian and they just don't eat the meat at the meal, but they'll eat the rest of the meal, or they'll go and get their French fries and donuts and granola bars and smoothies, they're not having iron-rich foods, and that can lead to iron deficiency anemia.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess we should just mention that, or I'm assuming that iron is commonly found in meat. Is that like the main source for iron, or one of the main sources?
Well, okay.
I mean, that's kind of why we talked about the vegetarian and the vegan thing, right? Because
yeah,
they're not eating the meat.
That's right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, there's two types of iron. So there's the heme iron, which is from meat or animal sources, and then the non-heme iron, which is from plant sources.
Right. And that's spelled H-E-M-E.
H-E-M-E. That's right.
Heme. Right.
Heme.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's comes back to hemoglobin.
Oh, I see. Okay. That was my next question.
That's what the root of the word is.
Perfect.
Yeah. So with...
can you explain what those two terms mean then?
Yeah. So the iron in our diet is either from heme sources or non-heme sources. So if it's animal food, like say beef, that will have a heme source of iron.
Right.
And that's easily absorbable by our gut.
Okay.
The non-heme plant sources, basically plant sources of iron, are less bioavailable and so not as well absorbed in our gut.
Okay.
So there's things that you can do, though, to help the absorption of the iron in your meals. And there's different factors that I want to cover with you right now. Factors that increase absorption of iron and factors that decrease absorption of iron.
Okay, good to know.
So that's why, coming back to the myth about most vegetarians end up with iron deficiency anemia, that's not true, because if you're an educated or you are knowledgeable and you've looked into iron and you know ways to help your absorption of iron when you're eating, that can help protect you from getting anemia.
Okay.
And there's a lot of omnivorous people, or people that eat all sorts of foods, that have anemia, and they're just, the quality of their diet is not very good. So factors that increase the absorption, and these factors will help, like especially if you don't have heme iron, so you're not eating a lot of animal products or any animal products. If you add citrus fruit or citrus foods to your meal, so you think of, what are citrus fruits?
We're thinking vitamin C, aren't we, specifically? Or
no,
is it
actually
citrus?
There's two different things.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay,
citric acid, and then we'll talk about vitamin C next.
Okay, gotcha. So citrus fruits, so your oranges, lemons, limes, grapefruit?
Tomato.
Does that count? Oh, tomatoes, citrus?
Or that might be the vitamin C one.
Yeah. See, I don't think of tomatoes as vitamin C either, but I should know that by now, I guess.
Yeah. The citrus fruits are really helpful for helping the absorption in the gut. And then vitamin C also. And some people that are on iron supplements, actually, they're prescribed to take a vitamin C supplement at the same time as their iron.
Right.
So that will help the conditions in the gut to absorb the iron. So you're taking your supplement, and that will help the vitamin C will help your gut absorb the iron.
Or like you said, if you're eating a heme source of, or no, a non-heme or a heme.
For what?
For this adding like oranges to your meal when you're eating iron. Is that what you're suggesting? Like you add the citrus to the non-heme iron to help it be absorbed.
Exactly. Okay. And the heme sources increases the absorption of non-heme. So that's another factor that increases the absorption. So for instance, if you're having a spaghetti and meatball meal, you've got a bunch of factors that are helping your gut absorb that iron. You have the pasta noodles has non-heme iron, and you have the meat, like the ground beef, that has heme iron.
Right, because that's an animal source.
And then you have tomato sauce, and that's vitamin C rich.
Oh, there you go.
And the combination of the heme and the vitamin C helps your gut absorb the iron out of the pasta and out of the beef.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And if you add some lentils, or remember we've talked about adding some legumes to your pasta?
Yeah, yeah.
That helps also, because there's iron in those legumes, and that will help the absorption if you're having it with the, if you have a tomato based sauce and you have maybe peppers in there, you know, they're rich in vitamin C.
Okay. Interesting.
So there's a lot of ways to help with your absorption of vitamin or iron.
So I'm guessing a lot of the like recipes, I'm thinking like chili and a lot of these kind of sauces were probably designed with maybe this kind of stuff in mind.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Maybe. Yeah. And I mean, it's like ethnically, you've got, there's lots of different meals that will improve absorption of iron.
Hmm. See, I just don't think that way when I'm cooking. I'm just like, oh, we got to use this up. I'll throw that in and this looks good. And
right. And this tastes good together. And
yeah. So that's a whole different approach.
Well, it kind of shows that having a tomato-based pasta is better than like the white sauce or the cheesy type of pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're going to get that to that in a minute about factors that decrease the absorption.
Ah, okay.
So a few other factors that increase absorption are foods that are fermented.
Oh, really?
Like sauerkraut or kimchi or tempeh. Those ones can actually help in the gut to help your absorption of iron.
And these are helping regardless of whether it's heme or non-heme.
Yes.
They help. Okay.
Yeah. And the non-heme, the plant sources.
They need more help, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. They're not as absorbable as heme iron to begin with.
Right.
But they also have, a lot of plant foods have other factors that reduce the absorption. So so a few other factors that increase absorption. If you sprout the grains, that helps the iron absorption. Roasting foods will help. And yeast, like a yeast, adding yeast to bread, that actually helps your gut absorb the iron out of bread and grain products.
What do you mean sprout the grain?
Like you, have you heard of sprouted grain bread?
I have. I mean, like you just eat sprouted grains, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like I had to sprout the grain and I didn't know what that meant.
Well, we could. I mean, we have tried it. It's an experiment in the past.
Baby. Hey, baby, you want to sprout the grain with me?
You're so funny.
That sounds fun. We'll be right back.
So the other thing, let's go to factors that decrease absorption of iron.
Okay.
So drinking coffee, tea, or milk at a meal will actually reduce your absorption of iron.
This is a rule I learned long ago when I was taking my like morning vitamins, and Sandra always said, take them after your coffee, because if you take your vitamins and then you drink a cup of coffee, it will reduce the iron absorption.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of the other minerals too, probably. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always remembered that.
Yeah. Oxalates in coffee, green tea, they impede the absorption of iron. So that's a good rule of thumb, is don't drink coffee and tea with your meal. Drink it an hour or two after or before. Milk, so calcium-rich foods, actually calcium, the mineral calcium, will impede the absorption of iron.
Calcium, will impede it, said? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
so like drinking milk or having like something that's got calcium in it.
Yeah. Like in a well-balanced diet, and if you don't have anemia, it's fine to have, you know, include cheese and milk and things with meals. But if you're really trying to improve your iron absorption because you have anemia, these are some strategies, like basically not drinking milk at a meal and maybe not having cheese with your meal, like have it at a snack time.
Okay. Question.
Sure.
Doesn't broccoli have lots of calcium? That's a source of calcium, right?
Yep. Yep.
But it's also a source of iron?
Yep. Yeah.
So does it cancel each other out?
No, it doesn't. No.
Okay.
No. It's more like supplements. So if you are taking a supplement, a calcium supplement or a magnesium supplement or a zinc supplement, those three minerals impede the absorption of iron.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So taking them at a different time than you would have an iron-rich meal.
Gotcha. And I'm just looking at your list. I think I might have interrupted you when we were talking about fermented foods and some of the other things over there. Did we finish that stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to come back to the green leafy vegetables in a minute.
All right.
Because the next one is phytates. They decrease absorption of iron. And they're in a lot of our plant foods. They're in beans and grains and wheat bran. But cooking breaks the phytates down. So we usually eat meals that are cooked and they have sauces and elements that increase the iron absorption. So for instance, chili, it has beans, which are high in phytates, but the beans are in a form that is digestible and the phytates are broken down. So, and also with that chili, you've got probably some tomato base. So you've got some vitamin C
right. And
other elements that actually help your gut absorb the iron. So maybe it's got some ground beef in there. So that will help your gut absorb the iron, or even turkey or chicken or fish. Like those things all help with, because they're heme iron.
Right. Okay. And sorry, you said phytates.
They're in plant foods.
And they decrease the absorption. So
yes.
They're kind of acting against the absorption.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And that's another reason why if you're taking, say, Metamucil or a fiber supplement, you wouldn't want to do that at the same time as an iron-rich meal.
We're going to have to like post a flow chart for this, because this is super confusing to just keep it all straight and what can go with what. And we'll just have to, we'll have to come back to this on a regular basis to maybe quiz people on it, just to make sure everyone understands it. Or maybe they do. And I'm just really slow on the draw today. I don't know. No,
it's okay. There's another element in plant foods called oxalates.
Okay.
And they're in spinach and beet greens and rhubarb and coffee, and oxalates can impede the absorption of iron.
Okay.
And so there's ways again to increase the absorption of iron by having vitamin C rich foods with those things. So say a spinach salad, you're not getting a lot of iron out of that spinach because of the oxalate. But then say having mandarin orange or strawberry that's rich in vitamin C, and then the citrus, that will help the absorption of the iron out of the spinach.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So just the spinach alone, even though it has iron in it, the oxalates and the phytates?
Yeah. Well, mostly oxalates with spinach.
Okay.
Yeah. And they really, it's like they bind the iron, so we can't get to the iron.
Yeah, it kind of holds it hostage. And
which is funny because, you know, they used to promote spinach as like pumping iron.
Totally, and it's Popeye like, and all that, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but you're not actually getting that amount because the oxalates are preventing the absorption. Okay, interesting.
Exactly, that's right. Huh. Yeah, so green leafy vegetables that are easier to absorb, like their iron is more readily available, would be the broccoli, kale, bok choy, collards.
Oh, I see, like the leafy stuff.
Yeah, although beet greens are leafy too. But
yeah, true.
Yeah,
okay.
They have oxalates.
I guess that stuff's more like the I don't know, is it more like the bitter kind of the, what do we call those? The
cruciferous?
Yeah, that's the word I'm
looking
for. Yeah,
right. I think, yeah, they all.
A lot of them are, right?
A lot of them are. I think the beet greens are too, though.
Okay, well.
But, I mean.
This is why we need a flow chart.
Yeah, most people don't eat just beet greens. You know, they probably maybe put some vinegar with it or some, you know, some kind of like citrus or acidic.
Right.
Or even like a fermented food with it. That's why it's good to have like kimchi or sauerkraut with some of your meals, because that helps the absorption of the iron. And it's really good for your gut biome.
The gut biome.
The healthy gut. All right. So
I sort of understand everything now.
Okay. So some people do need to take iron supplements. And if you've found that your hemoglobin's low or your ferritin, and the doctor said, okay, you need iron replacement or iron supplement. Sometimes the supplements can cause GI upset for people. The liquid form usually are better tolerated. That's in my experience with talking with pregnant moms and, you know, people that can't really tolerate the tablet iron. So like Floradix is one that's a liquid form that's usually a bit better tolerated and absorbed pretty well.
And does it taste good? You haven't tried it?
I think I have tried it. I can't remember. Supplements to me, I mean, most anything iron-based tastes metallic.
I was going to say, I'm just picturing what an iron supplement would taste like, and I just think like a mouthful of like
blood.
Raw liquid steel.
If you can do it with diet, that would be awesome.
Yeah, right.
So 7 iron-rich recipes to incorporate more into your meals. And I think we've covered a couple of them. The chili is a really good one because you've got the beans and maybe you're using some sort of beef or turkey, ground turkey or chicken in the chili. And then you've got the tomato base sauce.
Right.
And then you can put in all those other vegetables too. So maybe tomatoes, peppers, those would be help with the
absorption.
Iron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And pasta, similar. So pasta or lasagna with the tomato sauce base. And then adding lentils or beans in there too.
Perfect.
It increases. And then having a salad with that. So if your salad has some greens in it and maybe the broccoli, like a little bit of cut up broccoli and maybe peppers and tomatoes, mandarin orange, a little sliced almonds, like those are all going to be offering some iron. And then with the citric acid from the fruit, it would help the absorption, and the vitamin C rich vegetables would help the absorption of the iron in your gut.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then hummus is a really good one because it's made with chickpeas, and then you're putting that lemon juice with it. So that again gives a condition of it that's favorable in the gut for iron absorption.
Yeah, perfect.
And it's so, you know, people love hummus. It's something that you can eat when, you know, when you're a baby, like kids can eat it, and all through the life stages because it's soft and creamy and
easy to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to make too.
Yeah, I'm glad you tried it.
I should make some more one of these days.
Yeah, it's delicious when you made it. And it's, yeah, one, you know, a can of beans and some olive oil and garlic, and I think you use smooth peanut butter or tahini.
Yeah, I think I had some peanut butter, or maybe we used tahini. No, I did. I bought a jar of tahini.
That's
why I made the hummus.
Oh, right.
Because you gave it to me for Christmas, remember? You gave me a jar of tahini, so I'm like, okay, now I have to make it.
And it was delicious, and it lasted for so long. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it gave us some iron.
It did, yeah.
The next one is tacos.
Oh, tacos.
So those are...
I love my tacos.
Different, if you have meat in there or even just veggie tacos, but making sure you squeeze the lemon or lime.
Is there iron in fish?
Yes.
Okay. Any animal like chicken, fish, pork, any of those. Okay.
Yeah. Beef has the most amount and the most available. Like it's the heme, just like the other animal sources. But
right. Okay.
Peanut butter, anything with peanut butter will offer some iron.
Nice.
So like I'm thinking like Asian type sauce with soy sauce and peanut butter.
Peanut sauce kind of.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Thank you. And then definitely like a stir fry. So you could like have tofu and then bok choy and a variety of different vegetables in that stir fry. And that would be a good way to get some iron rich foods.
Is there iron in tofu and like soy based products?
There's a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it's non-heme, right?
Yeah. Because it's plant based.
So how can you increase the absorption?
Eat it with citrus stuff and vitamin C.
You got stuff. It. That's right. And maybe fermented.
And don't eat it with coffee.
Thanks. Don't. Yeah.
Or
tea.
Yeah, those other things you said.
Or tea.
Yeah, I'm going to be confused for a little while when I'm cooking, going, can I put this in with this or is it going to like cancel it out?
No, you don't have to be that diligent. I mean, I think, I'm pretty sure we don't have iron deficiency anemia, but people that do need to be more like thinking around this way of eating
and like what to include instead of what to like what to not have.
Yeah, and more about like separating when you're eating these things. So you can have coffee and tea, just don't eat it at the same time as your breakfast if it's an iron rich breakfast.
Right. Or and, eat it after your iron rich or sorry, before.
Right.
Before.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to say that a lot of dry cereals are fortified with iron.
Yeah, yeah, you see that.
Yeah,
sure.
So that's another way for people to get their iron. And that's, I would suggest, build your meals around iron-rich foods and then use these ideas to help increase the absorption of the iron when you're eating and avoid drinking tea, coffee, and milk with meals. And if you have a cast iron pot or a steel wok, those actually help your gut absorb the iron. And especially if you're making tomato sauce in there or sweet and sour sauce, like an acidic sauce, that will help with absorbing more iron. And then that will get into the food and then you'll absorb it more easily when you're eating it.
Interesting. Yeah. Like the it gives off a bit when you're cooking, like mm-hmm. the pan gives you a bit of its love kind of thing.
Especially if it's a acidic based sauce.
Interesting.
It'll help
yeah.
absorb huh. the iron. Yeah.
Can we just kind of do a basic, go over this basic again, just as a refresher?
Sure. What part?
Well, just all of it. Just not all of it. I mean, just kind of like just, I don't know, general guidelines, I guess, because I'm just confused still, and I'm sure other people are. And when it comes to iron, what do we have to keep in mind? Like sort of top three things. Can we do it that way?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So animal sources have heme iron and they're most readily absorbable by the body.
Gotcha.
Plant sources are non-heme iron. They're less bioavailable and not as well absorbed, but there's ways to increase absorption when you're eating plant foods.
Okay.
Citrus is a good way to increase the absorption of iron.
Right.
In a meal, and vitamin C rich foods with a meal.
Okay.
And also the presence of heme iron, so animal foods in that meal can help increase the absorption of iron.
Okay, that all makes sense. I think I got confused with the stuff that decreases absorption. And then I was like, okay, well, that stuff, I like spinach, for instance, and beans and those things that I thought, like, we don't want to avoid those things. But
no.
Just be aware, is that what you're saying? Just be aware that those, or if you're including those in your meal, you need some things to sort of counterbalance them as far as the iron absorption.
I think one thing that is confusing for people is that phytates in beans, for instance, in grains, can reduce the absorption of iron, as I mentioned before. But the way that the bean is prepared, ready to consume, so it's the phytates are broken down already. So if it's canned beans and you're adding to a meal, those canned beans, the phytates are already broken down.
Oh, I see.
So we're not actually eating a lot of phytates when we're eating bread that's been, has yeast in it, because or a sprouted grain bread or bread that had been
it's arisen
with yeast, because that will decrease or that will help with getting rid of phytates in the food.
Okay.
So then in the state that the food is ready to eat, it's already, the phytates are almost gone. And if we add citrus and vitamin C rich foods and possibly animal based foods in those meals that will help with the absorption of iron in our gut.
Okay. So if you're cooking beans from a raw state, that you're going to have more phytates in them then? Is that what you mean?
No, we don't eat beans in a raw state. You can't, it's not good for you. Like in a raw, dried beans.
Yeah. So even just the act of cooking those, you're losing the phytates. So it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
You. I see.
Yeah. And adding vitamin C rich foods and citrus foods in those bean dishes really helps absorption of the iron.
Gotcha.
So I almost feel like we shouldn't even mention the phytates because it's really not an issue in most common foods.
Well, I think it's probably good that we did because people would be like, well, I heard phytates are like whatever they've heard. So we've kind of dispelled the rumor, mm-hmm. the myth.
I think one of the popular diets out there, I think it's a paleo, says that you shouldn't eat beans because they have phytates. Well, in the form that we actually eat them, like in chili or hummus or bean salad or lentil soup, the phytates are actually broken down. So we're not consuming phytates in that form. Like it's already broken down so that we can actually absorb the good nutrition out of the beans.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. So that's why we're here. We can help
dispel myths.
Well, dispel myths and just sort of explain some of the things that are confusing.
Yeah, and some misconceptions, I think, too,
with
regards to foods and eating. And also the supplements issue is a big one, like fiber supplement. So if people are taking Metamucil or psyllium fiber, if you take that with your breakfast, then you might reduce the absorption of iron at that meal. And if you're iron deficient, you probably don't want to have anything that's going to impede that.
Right. Okay.
So you take that fiber supplement at a different time if you needed it.
Yeah. Just be aware of that.
Yeah. And the calcium, magnesium, and zinc supplements you would not take at the same time as your iron or as your iron-rich meal.
And it should say that probably on the label or whoever's prescribing it to you. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe the pharmacist will go over that with you when you're picking up your supplements. But a lot of these supplements, zinc, magnesium, calcium, people just buy off the shelf. Yeah, so they don't really talk to anyone about.
That's true. All right. Well, we're letting you know.
And you definitely would talk to your healthcare provider or doctor about if you do need iron and if how your iron stores are.
That sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for explaining all that. I think we still need a flow chart, but I'm a bit better acquainted with all the everything iron.
Great. Okay. Yes. I'm glad to hear it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Remember, you can check out our Facebook page and our Instagram page for fun things and updates and whatnot. You can check out our website at mywifethedietitian.com. Our email is mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate and review the show. We always love that. And yeah, join us next week. We'll have something brand new for you. All right. So have a good week, everyone. We will talk to you then.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, Sandra. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.